From the Squamish Chief,
this is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the fifth episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week. And on the show today, we're covering floods and accessible parking in Squamish. So our cover story this week was, with rising seas, Squamish faces unacceptable risk from flood. So Stephen, this was something that was presented at council. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it means for the average resident in Squamish?
Yeah, what it means is that Squamish is on a floodplain, like a lot of other communities. And what we've been doing is we've been assessing the amount of risk that that would pose to buildings and obviously people. And to date, the district has spent something to the tune of at least $20 million investing in dikes, because the idea is that, you know, we know global warming is happening, sea levels are rising. In addition to that, we know that floods have always been a problem in this area. So what the district has been doing is investing all this money in with the promise that once all this is done, we should be pretty much free from the risk of death down the road. And a lot of this is set out by what is called the Integrated Flood Hazard Management Plan, which is this big plan that came out a little while ago, and it just gave us directions on, if we do this, if we build dikes here to this particular standard, we will be safe. Now, this new report builds a little bit more upon that. So the first report that came out examined a very, very specific scenario. What would happen in the case of a 1 in 200 year flood disaster? Basically, floods are measured in terms of 1 in 200, 1 in 500, 1 in whatever 100. The higher the number goes, the bigger the flood. So it was measured to a 1 in 200 year standard. And the criteria set out by that plan was what would prevent us from being basically harmed or exposed to a very big risk of death. That's basically the criteria that we've been using up until this point. This new report examines more scenarios than that. I don't know the exact number, but it goes into much greater detail as to what kind of things can happen, what kind of flood events, and it runs it through a whole bunch of different kinds of models. And what we found is we aren't quite as safe as we thought we would be. Under these new findings, basically the risk of death is still there, even if we do build it up to the standards that our previous plan had laid out. So this is important because we're spending a lot of money on this in anticipating that we should be relatively free from risk of death. And now we're learning that, oh, this might not actually be the case anymore.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Stephen.
Yeah, no problem. I guess we're going to move this around and we're going to go to the second story, which is about accessible parking. And I guess one major piece that is really important to the story is how Squamish compares to other municipalities. And I know that a big component of the story is something that happened on December 10th with the BC Building Code. Can you expound on that?
Yeah, so this was a little bit of background that we didn't get into a whole lot with this accessible parking story because we were looking just at Squamish. But on December 10th, the BC Building Code was updated and it removed the regulations that it had previously for accessible parking throughout the province. And so that meant that instead of it being regulated and enforced by the provincial government, individual municipalities had to set out their own regulations for accessible parking that new developments have to abide by. So that means any new condos that are being built, any new businesses have to have this certain parameters. But most of the municipalities in BC were relying on what was already in the provincial building code. And not everyone has a municipal bylaw that covers accessible parking. Squamish does. So that's a good first step. And the Squamish bylaw is fairly well done. The problem, though, is that there are loopholes in the bylaw. Hmm. So they can't enforce it retroactively, which means that if a building or a development was zoned before this bylaw passed, then it doesn't apply to these standards that are set out for the accessible parking. It also means that the enforcement that the bylaw can control is on municipally owned land. So if there's a business that didn't fall under the rules and isn't maintaining the accessible parking that they already have, the bylaw officers can't actually do anything about it. The people have to complain directly to the business owner or the landlord of that property.
Hmm.
And then it's up to them to do something.
So I guess the big takeaway here is that a bylaw officer from the municipality doesn't actually have as much of a say or power in ticketing or enforcing these things. It's actually falling up to individual landowners to do this.
Yes, exactly. And so that can be really problematic. We've been seeing since we put this story out in some of the Facebook comments of people talking about this story is that some people in Squamish who have an accessible parking permit are going to these parking spaces to use them, finding somebody who doesn't have a permit parked in them and saying, hey, do you mind moving? I need this spot. And that person becoming hostile. So it's an issue because suddenly the people who are the most vulnerable in our society who need accessible parking spots, it's scary to kind of say, hey, that's for me. And you never know how somebody might react to that. So it's a lot to put on somebody who's just trying to park their car.
Okay, so now we're shifting over to our editor's pick, where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's here to tell us what she thinks is the story or the issue of the week. So, Jen, what do you got for us today?
Hey, Stephen. This week I wanted to talk about the vaccination story, but in terms more of so the editor's role and things we discuss in the newsroom.
Right. So what about this story brings that to light?
Well, we do get people asking us why we aren't giving the other side, because as we all, as journalists, we're trained, we try never just to have one side of a story. So we try to bring out other viewpoints, and often it's a duality. So one side of this or the other side. And
right.
People have asked us why we don't do that with vaccines and talk about the so-called harm that they may cause.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, why don't we do that?
I mean, I think in the past, I have done a story where I tried to look at that. And in some ways, I regret that because I think the media has done a disservice to people by pretending that there is two sides to this issue. There's some things that we just have to go with the science, and that's that. So as reporters, we've come to that collectively over climate change. We're no longer saying that it's a theory. The science is proven over 99, whatever percent it is, that it's a fact. And that's how we now feel about vaccines. And not having that be clear is a disservice, I think, to people who are reading our stories.
So there's also when we were talking earlier, there's a really, I think, illustrative example that you gave us with respect to your grandma.
Yes, it's kind of a funny story, not funny story. So my Nana is 100 years old. And still alive and well. And she smoked since she was probably, I think, 22 or 23. To this day, however, she swears that cigarettes don't actually cause cancer. The thing that causes cancer, she says, is the lighters. And so I think of that instance when I hear from some people who are anti-vaccine who want us to cover, say, the autism
right.
angle, which has been 100% disproved. I think if my Nana had her way, every time I wrote about smoking, I would say, but it could be the lighters, you know? And so we obviously can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're at with vaccines right now.
Hey, Jen, thanks for dropping in.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by The Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com or subscribe to the newspaper and have the news delivered to your door every week.